top of Daf Kuf Mem Omer Aleph. Itmar. Chardol Shaloshu Me Erev Shabbos. Mustard which was kneaded before Shabbos. That's called Lisha is kneading with a K. And he wants to prepare it for Shabbos. L'machar on Shabbos. Omar Rav. Mimacho bekli avalo biyat. He's allowed to crush it or steep it by mixing liquid into it with his kli so that he has water or perhaps wine, and he takes a spoon, for example, and he does this action of steeping it. But he's not allowed to do this by hand. And kneading by hand, although it yields a better mix of mustard than kneading with a utensil, but he wants to do it in an irregular way with a shinui. And kevan she'iruv Hachardal v'amashkim chashuvim kalisha. Since mixing the mustard together with these liquids is considered kneading, therefore he has to do it with a shinui. And when he mixes it with a kli, then he's not allowed to mix it and do this action of mimacho, because he does it thoroughly, and he eino yochel arev limchos heitev. He cannot do it thoroughly, and therefore it's considered like a shinui. If he does it with his yad, that's going to be a perfect way, and that's osur mishum lash. It's a kind of kneading. Now, one would wonder: are you allowed to put the water into the chardal on Shabbos? I mean, that's similar to what we call gibul, which in Lisha means when you add the water to the flour. But here it's chardal shaloshu me'erev Shabbos, which means that the chardal was already kneaded on Erev Shabbos from the liquid moisture that comes from chardal itself. So when he gets to gibul and he mixes in the water, he's got to do it with a shinui. Shmuel doesn't understand Rav, and he argues, Omale Shmuel, are you telling me that it's osur biyad? Otu kol yoma mimachu le biyad? Are you meaning to tell me that this kind of mixing he does during the rest of the week with his hand? Machal chamorim hu. This is food for donkeys, if he would do it in that way with his hand. Elom Shmuel, just the opposite. Mimachu biyad. That's not the way he would normally do it during the weekday, to mix in these liquids with the mustard. V'eino mimachu b'kli. But he's enjoined from using a kli, because that's the way he would normally mix it with the utensil during the course of the week. Shmuel doesn't deny that kneading by hand would mix the mustard better. But nevertheless, generally people use a utensil to prepare food that is intended for human consumption. Mixing it by hand is therefore a shinui, and it's permitted on Shabbos. It represents a deviation from the normal method, while mixing it with a utensil is prohibited because that's considered the normal method. Itmar, we learned in the Beis Medrash, Rabbi Elazar Omar Echad Zeh V'Echad Zeh, whether he does it by hand or with a utensil, Osur. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Echad Zeh V'Echad Zeh Mutar. So we have very extreme machlokas here. We had four possibilities, and all these possibilities are covered. There's one possibility that it's always mutar, whether it's a yad or a kli. The other possibility on the other extreme is that it's always osur. and that's going to be Rabbi Lozor's opinion, whether he used a yad or a kli. Then we have Rav's opinion, who is going to allow it for kli and prohibit it for yad, and Shmuel's opinion, who's going to prohibit it for yad and allow it for kli. Abai Rava, the Amri Chavayu, they said about this machlokas, ein halacha ke Rabbi Yochanan. We're not going to accept Rabbi Yochanan's heter. Now, after Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lozor had this machlokas, come Rabbi Yochanan b'shitasei de Rabbi Lozor. Rabbi Yochanan actually retracted his original position, and he accepted the position of Rabbi Lozor that in both cases, yad and kli, it's us. Come Rabbi Lozor b'shitasei de Shmuel. Rabbi Lozor also backtracked to some extent, and now he accepts Shmuel Amaskona. At the end of the final bottom line is that biyad is mutar v'kli is asur. And now, once Rabbi Yochanan retracted his original position, Abai v'Rava the Amri Shavayu, now Abai v'Rava reformulated their position here, and they said halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan. So in truth, nothing changed as far as Abai v'Rava is concerned. Where they said ein halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan, or they said halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan, it means that this lisha is prohibited, whether it's with a yad or a kli. Right, to mix these kinds of liquids, whether it's water or wine, together with the chardal, that's like kneading, and therefore it's an iser of lisha. Ime d'abaye, she was the one who raised abaye, of delay v'lo achal. She made this chardal mixture on Shabbos, and because abaye, together with Rava, had paskin that you're not allowed to mix it on Shabbos, whether it's with a yad or a kli, therefore he did not eat it. And that comes under the halacha ma'aseh Shabbos, that we're not allowed to enjoy the benefits of a violation of Shabbos, even if it was done b'shogeg. She obviously was not doing it deliberately as a violation. The Besu, the Zaira's wife, Avdile, she also made this chardal for Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi. And after Zaira had passed away, his wife, his widow, married Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi. There was a second wife, second marriage. And she too prepared for her husband the chardal, mixing it together with wine and water, v'lo achil. And Rav Chiya did not eat it. Amale, so the wife of Zaira, or we'll call it the widow of Zaira, said to Rav Chiya bar Ashi, l'rabcha avidi le v'ochal, v'at lo achal. Zaira was your Rebbe. I made him this mixture of chardal on Shabbos, and he ate it. How come you don't eat it? Omar, Rava bar Shva, Havikaim ne kame de Ravina. I was Mishamesh Ravina, Ubechashi lay b'shufta de Suma. And I mixed for him chardal together with shum. Shum, of course, is garlic. Now, it says here in the Hebrew that Bachshi lay, he actually used the stalk of garlic to stir this mixture. And apparently, Ravina ate it because this is already considered a more serious kind of shinui. Now, as far as halach is concerned, Amar Mar Zutra, less hilchus a kakol hanishmaita. Forget about paskening like any of the teachings that we learned before in this context. Ella, but rather the final halacha is ki hadi itmar, as we studied in our base midrash, that chardol shaloshim erev Shabbos, if the lisha started on this muster on erev Shabbos, l'mochar on Shabbos, mimacho, bein biyad, ubein bekli, you're allowed to stir it, whether you do it with your hand or you do it with a kli. And here he's paskening lakula in both cases. And you know, we're talking about steeping it. And it's mutar ben biyad ben klal. No same with sochot dvash. And you're also allowed to add some honey into the mixture. Below yitrof elam ariv benachas. He shouldn't beat the mixture with a heavy kind of beating, bekoach, with a lot of extra energy, like what we do when we, you know, crack an egg and we beat the egg in some sort of a bowl with a spoon. But rather ma'ariv benachas, he should just stir it, mix it very lightly. We have something similar in the case of shachalayim. He says that shachalayim is a kind of a grass. And in the note he quotes another Rashi that says, Karshinin v'shachlayim shnei minim hem. So these are two different types of grass. In the English, he translated as something called cress, C-R-E-S-S, and it was chopped up, shachakon, me'erev Shabbos, and lemochar is allowed on Shabbos, no sin l'tocho shem v'chometz, he can add to these choppings, oil and vinegar. Umamshich l'sochan amisa. And he adds a spice which is called amisa. And in the translation here of amisa, we'll have to wait a little bit in the Gemara. V'lo yitrof ela ma'ariv. Once again, he shouldn't beat it up, but stir it. And shum shirisko me'erev Shabbos, similarly, if he had garlic that was ground up before Shabbos, lemochar nosein lesocha pol ugrisim. He can add to it on Shabbos beans or split beans, but lo yishchok ela ma'arif. He should not pound it, he should only merely stir it. Now we get back to amisa. What exactly is amisa? Umamshich es amisa lesochan. What we saw earlier, that he's allowed to add amisa to this mixture. My amisa, what exactly is amisa? Ninya. In Hebrew, he calls it minta, some sort of a mint. And Omer Abai, Shmamino, hai ninya, ma'ale l'tachale. That it's a good idea to add mint to the cress dish, and it improves the flavor of this dish. And the fact that this was allowed was only because it improved the food. The mint represents an improvement in the cress. V'osen anomlin b'shabbos. We said that you're allowed to make enomlin, some sort of a drink, on Shabbos. What exactly is enomlin? We hope to find out. Torah Rabbanah, we learned that Ebraisa Osim Anomlin B'Shabbos, which is a drink to satisfy the thirst of a person. And it's something that's healthy. It's not something that is given to sick people as refuah, as therapy. The Enosin Aluntis, which is a min mashkish osi lahaker as a yotze mi beis hamerchetz, after the sauna when you're very hot. So they give you a drink which is meant to cool you off, and it's similar to a trufa. It's similar to something that's medicinal, and therefore we do not make it on Shabbos. Vezi anomlin vezi aluntis. Anomlin is made from yayin, dvash, and pilpilin. Wine mixed with honey and pepper. Aluntis is made of yayin yoshan, old wine. Okay, exactly how old is old wine? Let's say it's 2 years old. And mayim tzlulim, clear water, and afarsimon, which we said in the past is balsam. Di avdi lebeima suta lemekar. It's also, again, to cool off someone who exits from the bathhouse. And that's why we said it was usur, because this beverage is not a thirst quencher, but rather it's for someone to help him recover from fatigue or the heat of a bathhouse. Healthy people usually don't partake of this concoction, but rather it's intended for medicinal purposes. Hence, it's included under the Isur, the enactment of the Chacham of Refuah on Shabbos, which is prohibited. Omar Rav Yosef, Zimnin Chada, on one particular occasion, Eilis Basar Marzuka LeBeboni, I went after, followed after Mar Ukva into a bathhouse, and Kinafke Asoi, when I came out and I came, Ashkion Chamra, he brought me a cup of wine, Chad Kosa, in one cup. And what was there? Aluntis. Right, because aluntis, we said, was old wine and clear water together with balsam. And after the bathhouse, it has a medicinal effect. And v'chashi, and I felt, mibinsa derashi, I felt it cooling off the hair on my head, the aturfa dekari, all the way down to the nails on my feet. Ad sipone raglai. The ashkian kosachrina, if he would have given me a second cup to drink, then I would have, he says, nishar aisi nishar ben achayim havi mistafina dilma menaku li mischuse di alma diosi. I was afraid, I should be afraid, that if I drink another cup, they would detract from my merits in the world to come. I'd be enjoying this world too much. So Rav Yosef felt that this effect of the wine, chilling effect, was somewhat severe enough. So we gave the the interpretation, which is really reflected in the writings of the Marshal, that it was oneg. You know, he'd lose some of his chuyot because it's such an oneg. However, Rashi seems to interpret it differently, that Rabbi Yosef indicates that he would have died, he would have endangered his life had he drank another cup of this mixture, this concoction. And therefore he would have had to have been saved, so to speak, miraculously from death, and that would cause him to lose some of the merits that he has for the world to come. To Gemara Yisva, Mar Ukva Deshasi Kol Yoma, Mar Ukva would drink on a daily basis this aluntis, and it didn't harm him at all. Shani Mar Zucha Deshbe. Mar Zucha is different because he got used to it, and therefore it didn't damage him. And this leads us to the Mishnah in the middle of Kuf Mem Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah is going to talk about different pu'ulos, some of which are prohibited because it's a malach on Shabbos, and some are mutar. Ein shorin es achiltis b'poshrim b'Shabbos. So we have something called chiltis, which he translates as min tzemach, a kind of a plant, shesheren also b'mayim poshrim, you soak it in lukewarm water, and then you drink the water lirafuah. And to do so is a violation of the Issur d'Rabbanan of Refuah b'Shabbos. Avol nosen l'toch hachometz, u'metabel bo es macholo. So he's allowed to take this tzemach, this plant, which is called chiltis, and he can put it into vinegar and that becomes a dip, so to speak, metabolbo macholo. And what it means is that when he puts the chiltis into, or let's say soaks it in vinegar, that's not called a refuah, because that's something that he dips his food in. Healthy people will partake of this, and therefore it's not obvious that he's doing it for medicinal purposes. Ein shorin es hakarshinin. Now, karshinin, he says he has min kitnios, a kind of a legume, hamasham shil machal bein, which is normally fed to an animal, and we're not allowed to soak it in water in order that the psoles should float onto the top. And yochol lishloshton mishum borer. V'yuchal lishloshton. So what it means is that the Iser is to put water on Shabbos, to hatziv es apsoles. This is already similar to borer. And he sort of like soaks it and floods it in such a way to get the psoles out of the karshinin, where the psoles, as we said before, will surface on the top. And again, this type of bean, which was used for cattle, we cannot pour water over these beans because the refuse that's mixed into them will float to the top, and that is called borer. V'lo shofen oson, no, may we rub them, meaning v'yad, with his hand, k'dei l'hoser mehem es hapsoles, you want to rub these karshinin in order to get the psoles out, that's borer. Avol nosen, but he's allowed to take the karshinin and put it into a kavra, or kavara is probably the right pronunciation, which is ke'en napa. It has larger holes than a normal sieve, a sifter. Olutocha kalkola, or to put these karshinin into a basket. And the reason he wants to do so is kideshu munachim sham, and that's where he wants to place it. That's where he's storing the karshinin. Even though sometimes the psoles would go through the nekovim, through the holes on the bottom of this kavara, or through the bottom of the holes of the sal, of this basket. But that's happening meleha. That's a byproduct of what he's doing. Basically, he's using the kavara, or the kalkola, as a storage. And that's what he's doing. Now, just want to see. Okay. Yeah, he says one may put these beans into a sieve or a basket for storage purposes, even though the refuse will sometimes fall through the holes of the sieve, and the food will be sorted. And that's borer. By putting them into the sieve, there's no intention of sorting them. It's just something that might happen. It's not inevitable. And therefore, it is permissible. Then the Mishnah says, Ein kovrin es ateven bikvara. He's not allowed to sift straw with a sieve in order that the motes should fall off. Motes being the husk. So he's got stalks of grains, and now he wants to take the husks off by placing these grains in a sieve. And he writes, Shelo yazik abhemo cheles oso. Right, we're talking about straw, which is not edible for a human being, but it's for animal consumption. But he wants to get the motes off, because the motes is something that could be dangerous for the animal. And this he's not allowed to do. That's really borer. He's sifting the straw with a sieve. V'lo yitnenu al gabi mokom gavoa b'shvil shaharuach tizra oso v'yered hamotz. Likewise, he's not allowed to put him on a high place where the wind will come and blow off the chaff. And this is called Meleches Merakid. And Merakid is the way that they used to remove the kernel, the husk from the kernel, by throwing it up in the wind. We call it winnowing. Aval notel hu bekvara v'nosein l'socha evus. He's allowed to take it in a sieve and pour it into the feeding avus. The avus is the trough where he feeds the animal. And he wants the animal to eat it, even though in that way the motz is going to fall off, but it's going to happen me'elav automatically. So he's going to scoop up the straw, you know, this teven with a sieve, pour it onto an animal's feeding trough. Some chaff will thereby be eliminated when it falls through the holes of the sieve, but that's permissible because he's not trying to sort the straw. It's not inevitable that the sorting would occur. So that's the Mishnah, and we're up to the Gemara of Eboilahu. The Mishnah said that we don't soak chiltis in warm water, and the reason for it is that it's a kind of a borer process, because it dissolves in the warm water and the resulting liquid would then be drunk. Forget about borer, my mistake. We're talking about refuah. So the Gemara says, Eboilahu Shara Mai. Now, we just said that Ein Shornes Achiltos is an issue of refuah. So I'm not sure what the Gemara means when it says Shara Mai. I mean, you violated Nisa Drabonon. Let's just see if we can take a look at this has to do, well, no, Karshina we said was Borer and Chiltis. So in order to understand this Gemara, the Gemara asks what happens, what kind of liability does he have if he went ahead and he soaked this Chiltis in water. Tirgumah Rav Ada Nirshah Kamei de Rav Yosef Shara Chayv Chatos. So if you look at the note here, he points out that, you know, we didn't get to Abaye yet, who's going to disagree, but at least according to Rav Ada, Chiyuva Mishum Megabel Shehi told us Shel Meleches Lash. So we're talking about kneading with a K, right? Kneading as a tolda of Lisha. Sheshrias chiltas b'mayim domel in esinas mayim lidyo v'samamon b'shabes shechayv mishum lash. So that's the opinion of Ada. We're talking about Lisha. And omele abaye elameyat, if that be the case, shora umtza b'mayim, if he's got raw meat and he soaks it in water, hachinami the mechayev. Are you going to tell me here also he's chayev achatos? For sure that's not so. I mean, soaking basar, let's call it raw meat in water, is not a melacha. Now, at the face of it, Abaye is disagreeing with Rabbi Ada because he holds that the case of chiltis in Shor B'mayim is not similar to Nesinas Dio V'samemonim B'mayim. Why? Because there are kol mis'ari v'nasa gush echad. Everything gets mixed up and it becomes one entity. That's what Megabel is all about. That's what Lisha is, to take a liquid and a solid and mix it together, make one entity out of one gush. But Shriyas Chiltus B'mayim is, according to Abaye, the guf hachiltis nishar kmo shahoya. In other words, the water is going to absorb, is going to take some of the time of the chiltis, but there's no one new entity that's being created. There's no kneading process here. And Dome Abai says this would be similar to soaking raw meat in water. The meat remains what it was. There's no new entity that's being created here. El Omar Abaye, the prohibition in our Mishnah of Shriyas Chiltis is Midrabanon. It's a violation of a rabbinic enactment. Kidesh lo yase kiderech shu ose bechol. That he shouldn't be doing something which he does during the week. In other words, it's a kind of tircha halacha. Now, uvdin dechol doesn't mean that it's osur, because everything that you do on chol is osur. I mean, what does that mean? I mean, you can't say that he shouldn't eat on Shabbos the way he eats on chol. He shouldn't sit or recline on Shabbos the way he reclines in chol. But rather, chachamim prohibit that he shouldn't do kiderech shu ose b'chol dvarim she'efshar shimyaso som yovel de malacha. In other words, if there's something that if you imitate that action in the way you do it b'chol, you might come to violate a malach. So don't do something that's similar to the 39 malachas, any of them, or something that has a tirchi yisera. Boy minei, Rabbi Yochanan Meir of Yanai, ma'u lishros Esachiltis bitzonein. You know, till now we've been soaking this chiltis, this plant, in warm water. Are we allowed to soak it in cold water? Of course, is that also because it's the way he would do it in chol? Or should we say no? In chol, he only uses warm water, and on Shabbos now he's soaking it in cold water, and that change itself should mean that it's no longer Uvdin dechol. It's no longer something that we do during the week. Amar Leis, Rav Yani responded, Osir, it's still prohibited. So Rav Yochanan asked the question on Nantanan. We have in our Mishnah, Ein Shorin Esachiltis Biposhrin. The Mishnah seems to imply that the Iser here only applies to Poshrim, and we don't extend it beyond the case of warm water. Habitzonin butter. Amalei, so Rabbi Yanai responds to Rabbi Yochanan. He says, Imkain, if you're telling me I don't know how to interpret this Mishnah better than you do, ma ben li v'loch, why am I greater than you? Meaning, you also have an excellent methodology in interpreting the Mishnah. And I can't claim that I have a better way of learning the Mishnah than you do. Masnisan yichidahi, our Mishnah, says Rav Yanai, reflects a das yochid, a dissenting view. Disanya, we learned in a brisa, ein shorin esachiltis, lo b'chamin v'lo b'tzonin. Rav Yossi omer b'chamin osu b'tzonin mutas. Our Mishnah reflects the shita Rav Yossi, who is permissible in tzonin, but la'alocha, we're going to pass like chachamim, and that's why you asked me this question. I told you it's osu even b'tzonin. Now, what's the purpose? What is he trying to achieve here by soaking chiltis in warm water? The Gemara says, l'may avdile li'yukra de'liba. You want to know what it's for? What is it therapeutic? And the answer is liyukra deliva lekoved halev. He has a certain heaviness in his heart, and this is medicinal. Again, we're not talking about pikuach nefesh; otherwise, it would be mutter. But we're talking about some sort of a chest pain that he has. Rav Acha bar Yosef chach b'yukir likri, and Rav Acha bar Yosef actually experienced this chest pain. Osel kamei demar ukva. He came in front of Mar Ukva. Amalei Mar Ukva tells Rav Acha, zeal shesi, go and drink tlosa tikle chiltasa, which means the weight of 3 gold pieces of chiltas that was soaked in mayim betlosa yomi for 3 consecutive days. Ozel ishti, and therefore Rav Acha bar Yosef went ahead and he drank chamsha b'shabbos umale shabbos. So he drank a dose of this mixture on Thursday and on Friday. Litzafra, the following day, Ozal Shol Be'midrasha, he, after drinking this concoction, he came into the Beis Medrash on the very next day, which was Shabbos itself, and he asked the Beis Medrash, what should he do on Shabbos? He took it for 2 days. Now Shabbos is the 3rd day. Amrulei, they told him, Beis Medrash, Tana Debei Rav Ada, the Amrulei Tana Debei Mar Bar Rav Ada, Shosa Adam Kav O Kabayim, he's allowed to drink a kav's worth, or even double kav's worth, of chiltis, which is Shruya B'mayim, which was soaked in warm water, v'yeno choshesh, and he should not be concerned for violating. It's muta lishtos chiltis b'shabbos. Amalahu, Rav Acha responded, and he told the Chachamim, lishtos lo komi boile. I didn't have any doubts about the permissibility of drinking chiltis on Shabbos. It was always simple to me that you're allowed to drink it, because even healthy people will drink it. But rather, ki komi boile lishos mai. I wanted to know, the Mishnah says, ein shorin chiltas b'shabbos. Would we allow shrias chiltas on Shabbos for the sake of a refuah? And this might be an expression or a reflection of what we say about b'mokom choli lo gozrei rabbonon. Omalahu, Rav Chiya bar Ovin, Rav Chiya responds to Rav Acha, and he tells him, "Bididi avi uvda, I had a story, and the exact same thing happened to me. I saw a shilta, I came to ask Rav Ada bar Ava, am I allowed to soak the shiltas on Shabbos? V'lohavi biyodi, he didn't give me an answer. I saw a shilta, Rav Huna, I asked Rav Huna, v'yomali, and he said to me, Rav Huna, hachi koma Rav, this is what I heard in the name of Rav, Shore Bitsonein Umeniach Bechama. He's allowed to soak the chiltos in cold water and then leave it in the sun to warm it up. And this is obviously based on the fact that there's no such thing as Bishul in Chama. And based on the fact that Shriya Bitsonein in the case of Chiltas is Mutter. So now the Gemara analyzes this ruling of Rav. Kiman Shori. According to which opinion did Rav allow Shriyas Tsonein? Is it like Rabbi Yossi in the Braisa that we had earlier that he was Matir Shriyas Chiltas Bitsonein? But Eichinami the Chachom prohibited. And the Gemara answers, Afilamanti Osar, Rav, in his ruling, he was lenient on being matir shrias chiltas b'tzonein, even according to the Chacham, who generally say it's awesome, because hani mili, when the Chacham prohibit shrias chiltas in cold water, that's only el hechad lo ishti klal. If he hasn't started drinking it at all, aval hocha, in the case that we're dealing with, kevan di ishte chamshu mali shabsa, he already started drinking it on Friday, on Thursday and Friday, Elo Shavsi Vishavsi, if he doesn't continue the therapy according to the prescription, and he doesn't drink it on the 3rd day of Shabbos, he might come to a sakana. he's got to drink it, as we said before, for 3 consecutive days. And that's why we're going to allow him to be shorer the chiltus b'tzonein, even according to the shita, the chacham, that generally prohibited. Now, once the Gemara mentions this story of Rav Acha, the Gemara now brings another story that happened with Rav Acha on Shabbos. Mistamech, the Ozel Rav Acha bar Yosef HaKatfe. Once Rav Acha was leaning on the shoulders as he was walking of Rav Nachman bar Yisro bar Achte, and apparently this was his nephew. Omar Le, so Rav Acha turns to Rav Nachman and he says to him, Ki matinon lebei Rav Safra aileinai. When we'll arrive at the house of Rav Safra, take me in. Aileinai, take me in. Aile. Ki matu aile, when they got there, they went up to Rav Safra. And Rav Nachman brought in Rav Ada bar Yosef. And boy mine, Rav Acha bar Yosef asked the following question to Rav Safra, Mao lichas kuse kitonisa b'shavsa. Is he allowed to rub a linen garment that was already washed on Shabbos? After the laundering of a linen garment, sometimes the garment becomes very, very tough, very tight. And through shifshuf, it becomes softer again. And shifshuf is also going at the same time to add a little bit of whiteness, you know, to the beged. And this is what he formulated the following question, Rav Acha. He said, "Lerakuche ki tonisa kamachavin." The intention here is just shifshuf to soften the beged. V'shapir domi, that's mutar on Shabbos. O dilma lo lude chivara kamachavin. He's trying to create a whiteness and a cleanliness by doing this act of rubbing the linen garment, the osir, and therefore it's prohibited on Shabbos under the halacha of meleches kibus. Omalei, so Rav Safra responded to Rav Acha, l'rekuche kamachavim v'shapir domi. He's only really interested in softening the beged, and therefore he's allowed to do it. Ki nofak, when Rav Acha went out, asa, he came from the house of Rav Safra, Omalei, and Rav Nachman now turns to Rav Acha, and he says to him, my boy, Marmine, what did you ask Rav Safra? Omalei, so Rav Acha told him, boy, mine, ma'u lechas kuse, kiton disa, b'shavsa. Am I allowed to rub on Shabbos this beged of pishtan that was laundered? Omalei, shapidom, and he told me it was mutter. So when Rav Nachman heard this, he asked the following question to Rav Acha bar Yosef. Why was your suffolk about a beged pishnan, about a linen garment? Tiboile lamar sudara. You could have asked that question about any kind of cloth, any kind of sudar. Now, sudar is something that they used to use to cover the head, like a turban. And he carries it on his head so that his head shouldn't be exposed, shouldn't be magula. And a person, therefore, when he wears this kind of hat, he's very makbid that it should be clean. It should be maluban. And therefore, Rav Acha responds to Rav Nachman. He says, Sudra lo kamin boy, I wouldn't have even asked the question about a sudar. I had no doubt about that. The boy may Rav Hunu poshitli. I already asked this question, and he gave me an answer. Now, some of the girsa here, uposhet li li sura. And he told me it was asur. Probably because people are makbid to make sure that this sudar, which he puts on his head, should be very clean. So when he does the shifshuf, he really wants to clean this sudar. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak said, if that be the case, tivshot leila mar mi sudara. You were asking about a beged shel pishtan, and you got an answer from Rav Huna, well, why didn't you answer your question or be machria and your shaila of Beged Pishtan from the case of Sudar? Which, again, you asked Rav Huna, and Rav Huna gave you an answer that Sudar is Asur. So wouldn't that have sufficed, by analogy, for the case of Kaskusei Kitonta, where you are rubbing a Beged Shel Pishtan? Now, the assumption here of Rav Nachman seems to be that, to the same extent, there's an interest here and a motivation to clean a Sudar, so too, the same should apply to a Beged Shel Pishtan. Omer Leis, Rav Acha responded, no, you cannot compare the Ketones Sheniskavsa to the case of the Sudar, because Hasan, in the case of the Sudar, Michsi ki olude chivara. It's also because it looks like he's trying to create a certain whiteness in the cloth. And that comes under kibus. But hacha, here in my case, of a beged shel pishtan, after it was, lo michsi ki olude chivara. It doesn't look like he's trying to get it all white. In the case of a sudar, as we said before, a person is very makpid that it should be sparkling and it should be white. But we're not sure that in the case of a ketones, some sort of beged, which he wears on his body, that there's the same level of kepeda that it should be absolutely white. And therefore, even if Lagabi Sudar, Rav Huna gave me the answer that it's asur to be meshafshef in the case of a sudar, but nevertheless, I still have a question about being Meshafshef in a Beged Shel Pishtan. And here's where Rav Safta told me that the din of a ketones is different from the din of a sudar, and it's mutter, because the main purpose of his shifshuf is l'rachech es a beged. It's to soften the garment, not to whiten it, but to soften it. Omar of Chizda Haiki Tonisa, this linen garment that was laundered, v'shitchua al ha'konami of Shabbos liyabsha, after it came out of the washing machine, it was wet, and he stretched it out over a pole on Erev Shabbos in order for it to dry, and now he wants to take it on Shabbos, is mishlefu, we're on the top now of Kuf Mem Amid Beis, mishlefu l'dida mikanya, Shari, but kanya mimena asur. If he wants to pull it off the pole, that he's allowed to do. But if he wants to pull the pole off the, to sort of pull the pole in such a way that it frees the pole of this ketones, that's asur. Because the pole itself has a function and it's designated for fuel to put into the flames, and therefore it's mukta. Now, the problem here is, why is this called mukta when already Mibojel, before Shabbos, he designated to use it and to hang up a garment that was wet on it to dry it in the sun? He says, in the name of the Yavetz, he says, "The Afshikar Shtamesh Bekana Mibodyom Osul Etaltel Shaloya Darcham Liyached Kodim Litzorch Zev Kevin Shal Yichlu Lekach Eino Nasa Kli." I think he's saying that in order to take out the to undermine the status of Muksa, he would have to have done a Yichud. You know that he wants to set it up in a way that'll function on a permanent basis as a pole rather than as fuel, which he didn't do apparently. He was just using it on one occasion. Omar Ravavim Kli Kivari Hu, if it's a kana of Orgim, right? We say Orgim are the weavers, and we said that they use a certain kana, a certain reed and they separate, you know, the different threads and so forth, is mutter. Then if he wants to use this kana, and he did so Erev Shabbos to hang up the ketones, then it became a kli, and it's not muktzah. So that apparently he now gave a function. He wasn't just using it to hang up something, you know, hang yourself on this pole, but rather he made this pole into a klisha orgim, a kunishal orgim. That's already a whole new yichud, and it generates a shame kli, removing the status of muktzah. And Rav apparently holds that a kunishal orgim is a klisha malachta leheter. Why is that so? He says, "Kevin shall ore yedo makpid shlo yishtamish bo tzorach l'dvar macherim, yishtamish bo gam l'tzorach dvar mamutarim, therefore it's mutter b'tiltul. He doesn't need l'tzorach gufo l'tzorach makoma." So it's used generally for organ, but it's also used for not for weaving purposes. Person's not makpid, you could use it for whatever you want. Om Rav Chisda haiki shosa de yarka. We have a bundle of vegetables, and these vegetables are not fit for human consumption. But if they're fit for animal consumption, you're allowed to be metal to them on Shabbos. They're not muktzah because they're fit for animal fodder. If it cannot be fit for an animal, osir. Then it's like eitzim v'avonim, it's muktzah machmas gufo. Omer abchiya varashi amarav hai talya de bisra. He's got a chevel of basar maluach. He's shari l'taltule. He's allowed to be metaltule because it's roi l'achila chai. It can be eaten raw. But the kavre, osir. So the kavre is already a different story. That's made of dugim. So let's go through these last two cases over here. And what we have is the following. Just 1 second. Got the wrong. Yeah. He says the following. That a string of animal meat, I guess they used to take salted meat and hang it from a string, that's called a talia, and it dried out, is permitted to move them. Okay, but in the case of kavre, asir. Okay, so you can eat meat without cooking it, but a string of raw fish is forbidden to move because it cannot be eaten. Whoa. We know that today we have sushi, which is raw fish, and people eat it. I don't know who eats raw meat, but maybe he means we're talking about animal meat, right? Talia de bisra would mean a string of animal meat, which means that even though he hasn't cooked it, it is still roi l'maichel behema, and therefore it's mutter b'tiltul. But if you're talking about fish, now why, you know, again, fish, you don't eat raw fish, okay, that's fine. But why can't you feed it to an animal? Let's see if we can see anything about animal. All right, so right now I'm not finding anything. Although I don't have an answer to that question, but what might be relevant, at least in a more general sense, indirectly, is that Tosfos elsewhere quotes an Aruch with regard to this concept called Talia, and he says it's an Eitz Shetolin Ol HaBasar V'Dagim, and Rav holds that there's a difference. If it's Tolim Ol HaBasar, the Eitz itself is not Mos. And that's why the eitz is mutul taltalo. But an eitz shetolimol of dogim becomes mos, or the smell of the fish or so. And therefore it's muktzumachmas mius, and it's also taltalo. So that's a whole different approach. In other words, we're not talking about whether the fish itself is you know, that's strung up on this thing, but rather the, you know, the eitz itself is it mukta machmas mius. So here we are in Daf Kuf Mem Amid Beis, and we're about six lines down. The lines begin to get wider. Omer Av Ketina, and that of Mirz Hashem will pick up tomorrow.